If you'd put your hymnals down and take your Bibles, join me in Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Join me in Psalm 4 as we open God's Word. Would you please hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness? You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord is set apart for himself, him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Father, we thank you for the truths of the Word of God. We thank you that as we have worshiped in song, in giving, now, Father, we worship you in instruction. Be our teacher, we pray. May the Holy Spirit indeed enlighten and illumine us. I ask that, Father, that as we place this time in your hands, be our teacher. Have free course. We love you, we praise you, and we pray with this fellowship, with this body, God, for the man of your choosing. We lift that need in prayer before you. Thank you for the privilege I have of being here today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are making our way through Psalms. Thank you, Brian, that you said you wanted to wait until I finished 1 John and not Psalms for a pastor. Psalms is only 150 chapters. At 52 weeks a year, it's almost 3 years. So you don't want to wait 3 years. Whatever God has is good, right? 1 month, 3 years, we're in his hands. By the way, you're being shepherded. You are being pastored by him. That is his name, O Shepherd of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. So, dear ones, you are being shepherded by him. And so, you're not without a shepherd. You have the good shepherd. Psalm 4 is an interesting psalm. I love Psalm 3 and 4. It is known as the morning psalm in Psalm 3. It is the evening psalm in Psalm 4. And in Psalm 4, it ends with a rich statement. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. We said that in Psalm 3, it is God's cure for restlessness. And if ever there was a generation of restlessness, one without peace, one without stability, it's our generation today. But dear ones, there is rest. He is our rest. And David knew it in the midst of a battle. David's battle was with his son. I was thinking about that as I studied this passage. David had been told by God that he was going to be king. But he didn't know the process it would take to get there. It was certain God was going to make David king. But he didn't know that his own father-in-law would seek to kill him. didn't know that his own son would seek to rebel against him. And yet, over and above it all, God is at work. In the hills of Judea, makes it interesting, because as I was reviewing this, it was kind of fun, because I remember the first time in Israel, I looked out over the terrain in the hills. And there's steam that comes up from the ground. The heat off of the ground. Dear ones, David and his followers, his army, were in those hills of Judea. And a few hills over was Absalom and his. In the midst of that pressure, in the midst of battle, David found time to rest. The hymn writer said it so well. My hope is in the Lord. He gave his life for me. David's hope is the same. Look at verse 1. Psalm 4. An evening psalm. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. David's confidence is stated. His reaction to all of this going on, all of this turmoil, all of the conflict, all of the war, is, hear me when I call, O God. He turned to God. He didn't try and just rely on his own ability. His first reaction was to cry out to God. Notice the emphasis in the first opening salvo of Psalm 4. There's an exclamation point at the end. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Hear me. David calls on God. His call involves two aspects. First, faith. He is absolutely confident that God will hear. Absolutely confident that God will hear. Hear me, O God of my righteousness. A friend of mine invited me to his synagogue to preach. He said, I want you to tell our people why evangelical Christians support Israel. But in order to do that, you need to meet with the rabbi. I said, okay, let's do it. So we sat in the rabbi's office. And as I sat there, surrounded by his library, everything's in Hebrew, the rabbi asked me an amazing question. And this was a test. Here's my test. Tim, can you see me in heaven just as I am? Can you see me in heaven? And I said, Lord, you have said if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Lord, this is May Day. May Day. Help. Because, yes, I would love to answer him the way that I would with you. But I also know that if I do that, he'll say thank you, but no thank you. And so I said, God, would you help me? Give me wisdom. Here we go. And I said, Rabbi, it's an interesting question. I believe that God has one way to be saved. I believe that. The Bible teaches that God has one way to be saved, Rabbi. God has revealed how we can come to Him. And so, Rabbi, the answer to your question is, can I see you in heaven if you come God's way? Yes, I can see you in heaven. Rabbi, if God will accept me and allow me into heaven because I've come God's way, I can see you in heaven. I can see my friend in heaven. And the answer is, are we coming God's way? Later that day, Rabbi said to me in an email, Tim, thank you for your candor and for your passion. I think we can work together. And dear ones, I got to speak in that synagogue. And I also got to share the gospel of Jesus the Messiah. David knew that the God he was approaching would answer prayer. Hear me, O God of my righteousness. His prayer was in faith. His prayer led to freedom. Notice it in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy in my prayer. David had freedom. God had worked in his life. God had led him to freedom. And so David had the confidence, the faith, and the freedom to come into God's presence and say, Lord, here are my needs. What is David's concern? His call is verse 1. His concern is verse 2. His reaction moves to a reason. What was the reason for his prayer? His concern was threefold. Number 1. His son and his son's army, Absalom and his thousands, used 3 methods to harass David. Number 1, they used reproach. Verse 4, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? What was David's glory? David's glory was his faith. David's glory was his walk with God. David's glory was his heart. And they were mocking David. They were reproaching him. That word reproach means to cause scorn. To cause scorn. That's what they were doing. Kind of like what we hear in the news, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. They were attacking David's character. David says, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? Sidebar, how are we to treat our government leaders? Even if I don't respect the person, I respect the office. Romans 13 makes it clear the source of government is God. It's God. Every line of authority ends up in God. Let's look at that. We would call it religion, but I'll call it faith. It has the ultimate source in God. For Israel, it was the shepherd, it was the priest. In the local church, it's deacons and elders. Paul underscores that respect the elders that are over you, whose faith follow. And so the local church and the church body, we have the ultimate source in Jesus Christ. Human government has its source in God. God established human government in Genesis chapter 9. What is the purpose of human government? Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the purpose of human government is to let us live in peace and quietness and safety. Human government has its ultimate source in God. the spiritual source, the local church, has its source in God. Friend, our work, our jobs, have their ultimate source in God. You have a master who is in heaven, Colossians 4 says. You have a master who is in heaven. And so when I rebel against God's established authority, ultimately I'm rebelling against who? Ultimately, I rebel against God. And God says we're to honor his name, not rebel or resist his name. Absalom and his followers were seeking to overthrow, rebel, and replace God's established government and ruler, David. How long will you turn my glory? How long will you reproach my name? How long will you despise my character? How long will you express scorn? Their desire, worthlessness. Worthlessness. What was their desire? Power, influence, wealth. Worthlessness. I remember early in our ministry, I was in Pennsylvania at a missionary conference. And at that time, the lottery was huge. I mean, it was gaining millions every hour. I'm walking down the streets of Springboro, Pennsylvania, and people are wanting to know, where's the store where I could go buy my lottery? I don't know. I'm from out of town. Sorry, I can't help you. My dear friend, what's the worthlessness? Power and wealth. Why is wealth powerless? Because it isn't permanent. It isn't permanent. As permanent as it seems, how long would it take to spend $1 trillion? Amazon, first $1 trillion company. How long would it? I'd like to try, somebody is saying. Let me try. How long would it take to spend $1 billion. It's not permanent. When riches increase, Solomon said, set not your heart upon them, for like an eagle, they fly away. It's not permanent. Who is permanent? Who is permanent? Say it for me. Exactly right. God is permanent. Where is my heart to be seeking? Seek the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, the Word of God says, God made him prosper. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll be a pauper. Is that what it says? No. And all these things will be added to you. So I have a perspective. I have a pursuit. God has urged me to pursue him. Absalom and his followers were pursuing that which is worthless. Their desire was what John wrote about in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The third issue is found in verse 2. How long will you love worthlessness, their desire? How long will you turn my glory to shame, their defamation? They defamed and mocked David in his position. Finally, how long will you seek falsehood? How long will you deceive? David brought those people to the Lord. As I've been going through this, I'm looking at our own experience with the Friends of Israel, and there is an amazing door that God has opened. And that was to be on the Walk for Israel committee, which is all Jewish. Everyone is Jewish there. Remember the first time I went, I looked and I go, synagogue leaders and Jewish organizations and schools. And everybody's Jewish. And then walks Tim. Evangelical Christian Tim. And it's like, what's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this? It's like, God, you put me here. I didn't seek it. But I was invited to come and serve on this committee. And it's like, okay, Lord. And so I went up to the director, the leader, and I said, look, you got to understand something. I said, you've invited me to come. I work for Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. I'm not going to come with tracts out of my pocket and try to buttonhole anybody. I said, I'm here for Israel. I'm here for the walk. Two years. And I told the director and the founder, I said, look, you guys are going to take a ton of heat for having me on this committee. You're going to take a ton of heat. And they did. They did. Jewish people in the community were livid when they found out that I was on this committee. They demanded my removal. They demanded it. Well, I just finished my 11th year on that committee. I didn't seek it, but God put me there. What's amazing is that there was a man who got on the committee 2 years after I started. Third year, I'm on the Walk for Israel. And there was a man who got on the committee to get me off. That was his sole purpose of being on the committee, to get me out. So at the end of the walk, we were at our debrief. He brought in Israel My Glory, stood up, slammed Israel My Glory on the table, and demanded my removal. He's a missionary and he shouldn't be here. Our executive director, I'm tabling this motion. We are adjourning. He's off the committee. I just finished my 11th year on that committee. God had established that David was going to be king. Didn't matter about his own son's rebellion. Didn't matter about those who joined that rebellion. But they wanted to let David know their way was higher than God's. Were they right? Who's higher than they are? God. Look at verse 3 now. David's reaction, his prayer, his reason is because he has enemies who want to destroy and defeat him and defame him. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5. We read these words. But know that the Lord is set apart for himself, him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now you've got David's reflection. Here's David thinking about what really is real. What's real? David reflects. He starts to think. Underscore that phrase in verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Does that sound like a verse you've read before in the New Testament? Keep your finger right here in Psalm 4. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul uses this very phrase, takes it right out of Psalm 4. Look at me in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, be angry and sin not. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. That comes right out of Psalm 4. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Move back to Psalm 4 with me. David's reflection, as he thinks about Absalom and Absalom's rebels that are joining him, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Underscore that phrase, be still. One scholar said it means to shut up. There's another phrase where that is used. Join me in Psalm 46. Keep your finger in Psalm 4. Look at me at Psalm 46, would you please? Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. That means to relax. Relax. Folks, you and I are seeing all kinds of turmoil, all kinds of chaos. There is a still point in this universe. There is a still point. And that still point is the throne of God. He has not let go. He has not let go. His will be performed. He will bring all things to a fitting conclusion, generally and specifically. For you. For you. For you. I did not know so many people knew about me. I did not know so many people knew how old I was. Until lately, I have been getting invitations from insurance companies about Medicare. Yes, I turned 65 in November. I had no idea so many people had been paying attention. When do you retire? God will bring all things to a fitting conclusion for me personally, as well as all things generally. He'll do the same for you. I love what Warren Wiersbe said. I know he's in heaven, but he said, God's will is unique and individual. I like that. I like that. God is going to bring all things to a fitting conclusion for Tim Munger. Meditate on your bed. Think on Him. Let your reflection be of Him. Be still. And know that I am God. And we can put in parenthesis, and you are not. And I am not. David continues in verses 6 or 8. I love the end of this psalm. David has listened and heard, even among his own staff, even among his own army. He has heard, verse 6, there are many who say, Lord, who will show us any good? How can we win? Listen to them. They were defeated. They were discouraged. But not David. Not David. as the day was waning, David began to ask God these things. Lord, lift up the light of our countenance. What did they need at that moment, my dear friend? They needed to be lifted up. Maybe you need to be lifted up today. Maybe so. My dear friend, look up. Look up. Because seated on that throne is our Savior. Seated on that throne is our God. And my dear friend, He knows everything about you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what He's going to do in you, with you, and through you. Rest in Him. And so David said, lift up the light of your countenance among us. What do I need is the glory of God. My dear friend, you and I who are here are worshiping the God of glory. What do I need as you're waiting on your pastor that God has for you? Lift up the light of my countenance. May I see you. I want to see Him fresh and anew, dear ones. Fresh and anew. What do we need in this hour? We need a fresh look at who the God of heaven is. David took comfort in the fact the battle belonged to the Lord. Dear ones, I have seen in our ministry, even when it seemed that people were attacking, they were powerful people. But were they more powerful than God? Just before July 4th weekend a few years ago, I always tell churches, please don't put anything about our upcoming meetings on your website. We have, especially if I'm going to be doing a Jewish evangelism seminar, please don't put that on your website. Why? Because, thank you for asking, we have Jewish people who are our enemies who look for everything they can to use against us. So please, just don't put that on the website. Sidebar, it's okay if you let them know I'm coming to preach. It's okay. So this one church, I told them, don't do this. I'm coming to do this seminar. And they did it. They said, well, we're sorry. We didn't mean to do that, but we got it off. Do you know what? It was on long enough for a local organization in Detroit to see it and react to it. So I got just before the 4th of July weekend. We were getting ready to go up north. And I got this email demanding that I meet with the director of this organization. It was muzzle time. They were going to tell me, you can't do this. So I emailed them back. And I said, thank you for your email. You and I have served on the Walk for Israel for several years. You know everything about me. You know I know about you. There's really no need for us to meet. By the way, I gave you that opportunity 6 years ago and or more, and you turned it down. So why do I want to come now? Thank you, but no thank you. Have a great weekend. He emailed me back. You may not want to, but we must meet. And I said, no. You don't have the power to tell me what I can and cannot do in our ministry. Have a nice day. My dear friend, God gave me a passage, not just a verse, a whole passage. Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. To encourage me and comfort me. Strengthen me. And in that passage, God says that the enemies of Israel will dissipate, dissolve, and be defeated. Do you know that's exactly what God did for me? Now, folks, I'm not saying I'm special. I'm not. But God is faithful. As David cried out and said, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Help them see that the battle belongs to you and that you're greater than our enemy. We can rest in you. Safe am I. I'm safe in his arms. David continues to the end of the psalm, verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. Here, dear ones, is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the end of the harvest season. It's a great, glorious feast. God, you have put joy in my heart. That's the word gladness. Joy. Joy in my heart. More than in the time of prosperity. Why? Because prosperity isn't forever, dear ones. It's not forever. So look at this. David has confidence. David has joy. He says in verse 8 that he has peace. And finally, he has rest. Wow! Doesn't that sound impressive? Could you use that today? Could you use some rest, some joy, some peace, some contentment? Dear ones, it's all in no wonder David could say in verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone. You're my rest. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my contentment. Doesn't matter what the army does. I am in you. There was a young girl whose father was a sea captain. It was a stormy night. Waves were rolling, thunder roaring. And the sea captain said to his aide, please go check on my daughter. Make sure everything is okay. So he went into the captain's daughter's room. And there was his daughter sound asleep. So he woke her up and said, honey, Dad asked me to come and check on you. Is everything okay? You woke me up. I think I'm okay. Is everything okay? And his daughter asked two powerful questions. Is my dad still captain of the ship? Yes, he is. Is my dad still at the helm? Yes, he is. I'm not afraid. And she went back to sleep. Safe am I. Dear ones, our Father is still God. He's still the captain of the ship. And he's still at the helm. I will both lie down in peace. For you alone, O Lord, are my comfort. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, I'm safe in you. Dear ones, that's who we belong to in Jesus Christ. That's the confidence we have in Him.